Good morning. A number of years ago, country star Hank Williams had a popular song out titled, "There's a Tear in My Beer." The lyrics to one of the verses went like this. Last night I walked the floor, and the night before, you are on my lonely mind. It seems my life is through, and I'm dogging blue. You are on my lonely mind. I'm gonna keep on drinking till I can't move a toe. And then maybe my heart won't hurt me so. There's a tear in my beer, 'cause I'm crying for you, dear. You're on my lonely mind. Now that's what I call a classy song. What a point Hank Williams was. The funny thing is, that song is basically what most people think when you mention the word loneliness. But there's a type of loneliness that runs much deeper than that. As we continue in our series this week, Victorious Living, we want to talk about today victory over loneliness. All of us face loneliness at some time in our life. All of us have issues of loneliness. All of us seem to be lonely. We may have a time when we're like I am today, living all alone with my dogs, with Terry in the hospital with COVID. We may be like the person that has lost a mate, 40 years of marriage, and then that mate dies. They become lonely. They become despondent. They become so lonely that they feel God has left them. Listen, my friend, we need to understand that we can have victory over loneliness according to the Bible. Christ came to give us victory. Christ came to give us strength. Christ came to give us the ability to overcome because He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'll walk with you closer than any brother. Listen, my friend, Jesus will never leave us. So the first thing we want to look at this morning is, what is loneliness? But before we get into our message, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and worship you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given us this morning to share. And we know that each one of us at some time in our life will feel lonely. We'll deal with loneliness and rejection. Lord, help us as we go through your word today to see that you are the creator. You are the one that sustains us. And you are the one that will never leave us in this life. You'll always be there. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. So what is loneliness? There are a number of ways we can answer this question, but for our purposes, I'd like for us to look at three basic answers that apply. Number one, it is more than just being alone. Loneliness is more than just being alone. Some say that New York City is the loneliest place on earth, even though there are more than 8 million people who live there. You can be lonely in a big family, in a big church, or in most populated city on the face of the earth. The kind of loneliness I'm describing has to do with being disconnected from other people and from God. It is being in a state of mind that doesn't involve others. Listen, my friend. It is when you live constantly with the question, does anyone really care about me? It is when you don't think that anyone else could possibly relate to what you're going through at this time, and that there would possibly never be a time when you feel differently than you do right now. It is manifested in depression, despondency, and often despair. And if we are in this state of mind, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, it wears many faces. Secondly, it wears many faces. First of all, we looked at it as more than just being alone. Secondly, it wears many faces. For some people, it is very obvious to everyone around them that they are going through a deep state of loneliness. What some might call a dark night of the soul, others who are going through this state might appear completely normal to everyone around them, even to those who know them the best. But inside, they feel like everyone has deserted them, that no one can relate to what they are dealing with. Not their spouse, not their friends, not even God, and sometimes especially God. Number three, it is a universal reality. The dark experience affects young and old, rich and poor, Christian and seeker. It is a strange phenomenon to be universally known, yet to be so alone, Albert Einstein said. You might have never personally experienced it, but odds are that someday you will. At the very least, you know someone else who has or is experiencing it right now. It isn't something to be ashamed of, laughed at, or ignored. It is something to recognize, share with those who can help, pray about, and lay at God's feet. This is the answer to the first question, what is loneliness? So, the second issue we want to cover this morning is, where is God in our loneliness? Where is God in our loneliness? Most people think when they're lonely, God has left them. Most people think that God has abandoned them. They pray, they don't get an answer. They feel their prayers never get past the ceiling. They pray and they pray and they pray, but God doesn't answer. So where is God in our loneliness? This is a question that most of us ask deep down inside, but we don't bring it to the surface for fear that it would seem like we don't have enough faith. But if God is who He says He is, He already knows that we're asking the question anyway. So why not give voice to that we're feeling inside? Listen, I've asked the question myself, and I've found some answers to the question. Number one, God cares about your loneliness. God cares about you. He wants to be with you through your struggles. He wants to be with you through your cares. He wants to be with you through your loneliness. He wants to be through your despondency. God wants to care for you no matter what you're facing today. Listen, we need to realize that God is always with us. God will never leave us, and God will never abandon us. Listen, my friend. Notice what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 say. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Notice that passage. It takes a humble heart, a humble attitude to come to God. But when we come to God with an open heart, we come to God with an open mind, we come to God with our loneliness, come to God with our despondency, come to God with all our cares, God says He wants to care for you. Whether you're able to recognize this fact right now is beside the point. You need to understand that even if your emotions are saying something different, God really does care about your loneliness. One tribe of Native Americans had a unique practice for training young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family and tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of the thick woods, by himself all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, He imagines a wolf leaping out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. No doubt it was a terrifying night for many. After what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and the outline of a path. Then, to his utter amazement, he beheld a figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night long. Something very similar takes place when we feel disconnected from God and others. While we are going through a dark night of the soul, and it feels like no one is around to fellowship with us, to care about us, or to make us feel secure, there's going to come that day when the light comes back on, and we'll find that God has been there with us all along. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." The word translated helper literally means a corresponding partner. It is interesting to me that God doesn't say that being in a relationship with him should take care of the loneliness problem. Instead, he sends other people who can fill the gap. In other words, it is not only a relationship with God that will make the difference, but relationship with other people are necessary also. God cared enough about Adam to send Eve, who has he sent to you? God cared enough about Adam to send him Eve, to shelter him, to take care of him, to be a helpmeet to him. The question is, who has God sent to you today to be your shelter, to be your helper, to be your person that is going to help you through your hour of loneliness? Number two, Jesus understands your loneliness. In the midst of disconnectedness, why not call Jesus along to be your companion while you go through this experience? If anyone knows what you feel like, it's Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Could one of these weaknesses that Jesus understands be the loneliness we feel? Yes, it could. And it was when God the Father abandoned him on the cross, when the Son faced the darkest hour in all of eternity, all alone. Mark chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. And when the sixth hour was come, there was a darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus was abandoned, if only momentarily, by God the Father, because he could not look upon your sin and my sin, which Jesus bore on the cross. Jesus was abandoned by his own disciples as they deserted him. Jesus was abandoned by his own people, the nation of Israel. If anyone can relate to what you're feeling, it is Jesus, who spent much of his human experience being disconnected and abandoned by the people around him. Thirdly, Jesus invites you into relationship with himself. So many of us, when we feel despondent, run from Jesus rather than running to him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Notice these two adjectives Jesus uses. He is humble, and he is gentle. Rather than a God who stands in his arms crossed and points his finger at us, here we find that he comes down to our level and welcomes us into his presence. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Jesus is waiting for us to invite him in. It's up to us to decide if we're going to open the door or keep the door closed. Jesus is at the door knocking, there to help you with all your loneliness, with all your trials, with all your tribulations, with all your heartaches. Jesus is there to help you through everything you face in life. Will you open the door? Will you let him in today? Will you accept what he says? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Only through Jesus can we find the rest that satisfies. Only through Jesus can we find the rest that fulfills that loneliness and causes that loneliness to disappear. Only through Jesus can we find that rest that he gives us, that peace that he gives us, that passes all understanding. Listen, my friend. Secondly, how do I overcome loneliness? I'm trying to avoid oversimplistic answers here, but because they won't do a whole lot of good to you to learn how to overcome loneliness. But the bottom line is that we can only overcome loneliness when we join in fellowship with other believers and with God, usually in that order. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." What is the significance in this passage? It's the fact that it doesn't just direct us to fellowship with God, but gives equal importance to our need for fellowship with each other. We come into the church to fellowship. We come into the church to be one with God. But also we come into the church to fellowship with one another, share one another's burdens, help them get through the problems of life. Listen, my friend, when I find community with you, we together find community with God. Rather than thinking of myself as an individual in a relationship with God and thinking that only solution to my problem is to get to know God better, I find that much of the real solution comes by growing closer to others in the body of Christ. This is the complete opposite of how most of us deal with the problem. So there are a couple of things that need to take place in our lives if we're going to change this. Number one, rethink your view of the church. Rethink your view of the church. Listen, my friend, we need to understand that our relationship with God will never change. Our relationship with God will always be the same, but we need to understand that relationships with others can be fractured by different reasons. We need to realize that our relationship and our fellowship with other people can be fractured by every type of thing in the world. So we have to rethink your view of the church. Many of us view the church in a way that's completely contrary to the New Testament. I want us to draw a contrast to the way we really look at the church versus the way we should look at the church. Number one, is it an institution or a community? If you think of the church as a building or as a denominational structure, or just a place where we can come together for worship and Bible study, you're bound to think of the church as the last place to go to solve your problem. But if you understand the church as a community where we can come together, share our problems and our successes, encourage one another in the struggle, and cheer each other with our victories, then you'll begin to look at the church totally differently. Rather than cold, uncaring, generic place where we're focused and forced to show up each Sunday, we begin to understand that the church is a community of folks who have banded together to work, share, and overcome until the day Jesus returns. Secondly, is the church an event to attend or a family in which we belong? Some view the church as merely an event on their schedule. Sunday morning rolls around and it's time for church. Just like on Monday morning it's time to go to work and Saturday it's time to go to ball practice. You come on Sunday, sing some songs, hear a sermon, and you've got your fix for the week. My father-in-law used to call that Brill Cream Christians. He said a little dab will do them. They come to church on Sunday morning. They sing a few songs, hear a sermon, and that's all they need for the work. If you view the church as an event, and you are a member so you can attend that event, you have your name on the roll, you will lack the tools necessary to overcome your loneliness. Psalm 68 verse 6 says this, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those who are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. While the psalmist is most likely referring to a family with a mom, dad, brothers, and sisters, we know that in the New Testament, the church is described as the family of God. We know that God is always with us. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says this, Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We each need to get to the point that we recognize and celebrate the fact that the church is the family of God, with all its faults, problems, diverse personalities. We are the family that God has chosen to call His own. Listen, you're never going to find a perfect church. You're never going to find a church that is just right. Get into a church that you can hear the Spirit, that you can feel the Spirit, that you know that the Word of God is being preached and that people's lives are being changed. It may not be perfect. It may not be meet every need you have. It may not be the perfect church for you. But find the church that you feel the most comfortable in, where you can share all your faults, all your problems, all your diverse personalities with your fellow church members and become part of that family that God has chosen you to be. Secondly, revise your approach to relationship. One of the reasons we experience the loneliness that we feel in our lives is that I've been talking about is because we have a wrong view of relationships, especially as it pertains to church. I want to go through this really quickly, but they're all important. Realize your need. If you view Christian relationships as an option, you won't make any effort to come into fellowship and grow with others in Christ. But if you recognize relationship with others as a need, in the sense that food and water are your needs for your body, you'll begin to approach things differently. Listen, all of us have a need. All of us need prayer. All of us need something in our life. You may come to church and feel you don't need a thing, but that is the people that need something the most. You may come to the church and think you've got it all together, but that is the people that need something the most. Listen, God has made us in such a way that we need individuals. We need fellow church members. We need people, just like we need food and water, to meet the needs in our life. Realize your needs. Secondly, move towards others. Move towards others. You need to take some initiative here. I've heard people say, I've been at this church for 2 years and no one's invited me over to their house. Well, how many times have you invited people over to yours? Take some initiative. Others feel just like you do and they're waiting for someone to reach out to them, and it needs to be you. Find someone today at the end of this service. Go up and speak words of encouragement to them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you want to have fellowship with them. Tell them you are their shoulder to lean on. You are the one that wants to help them deal with their problems. You want to pray for them. You want to motivate them. You want to encourage them. Let them know that you're glad that they're part of the church family and see what happens. Thirdly, be vulnerable. When you open yourself up to other people, you place yourself in a vulnerable state. Especially when you get to know someone well and they know your problems. A few years ago, after a small group had been meeting for a few months, their leader, Dick Volbrook, said, "It makes me feel good to know everyone else is as messed up as I am." Now that might sound pessimistic, but what he was saying demonstrated how vulnerable each of us had to be in opening up and fellowshipping with others. Listen, everybody has problems. Everybody has issues in their life that they have trouble dealing with, especially loneliness. This message today, I hope it has helped you to deal with your loneliness. I hope the steps that I've given you help you realize that you're not alone. And the fourth thing I want to mention is trust God. No matter how lonely you might feel right now, realize that there is going to come a day when you're going to come through this in His time. And in the meantime, you need to trust God that the day will come. Perhaps more than any other time, this is a time for prayer. Trust God to come through for you. Allow His truth about who you are in Christ and the love He has for you see you through to a brighter day. Listen, my friend, God loves you. God loves you. He loves you more than you can realize. He loves you unconditionally. God is always there for you. As I've said, God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will always be by your side. God puts the angels around you to protect you. Jesus is holding your hand, walking through the trials of life. I heard a story one time I want to share with you. He prays to Jesus, this man on the beach. He prays to Jesus and he prays to Jesus. And then he walks across the beach and he only sees one step of footprints. The man prays again and he says, "Jesus, where was you at during my trials? Where was you at during my troubles? Where was you at doing all the things that I needed you to do?" And Jesus said, "You know, you saw your single footprints in the sand, but I was carrying you. It was my footprints you were seeing. I was with you every step of the way." Listen, my friend, it's the same way with our family today. Our church family, we have each other one praying for us. We have each other one sharing our burdens. We have each other one facing the trials and tribulations with us, if we'll just allow them to. In conclusion, hopefully I've been able to answer some of your questions and set you on a path to healing and security in Christ and in His church. The reason I believe I can speak to this subject is because I've gone through this myself, and I can assure you that this is the path to victory. The path to victory is not always easy. The path to victory is not always comfortable. The path to victory is not always, because loneliness is a terrible thing. Feeling lonely, feeling all alone is a terrible thing. But we are never alone. The Holy Spirit is always with us. God, in His presence with the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us and gives us the comfort we need through troubled times. Listen, my friend, you're never alone. You never need to be lonely, for God is always with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come this morning and bring your word. We ask you, Lord, that you take this message this morning. Help those that are feeling lonely to realize they're not alone, that you're always with them, that there's people praying for them. There's always someone there to help them. Help us realize that you are the God that watches over us, that shelters us, that keeps us safe, that always is holding our hand through the trials of life. And help us to realize that our Christian brothers and sisters in the church are the same way. They're always holding our hand, always praying for us, always reaching out that hand to help us. Help us to accept that this morning as we overcome loneliness in this life and live a victorious life. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.